In the name of Jesus, amen. Jesus' body is being taken down from the cross and is being received into the hands of his mother and his disciples. They have wrapped his body in linen cloths and laid him in a tomb. A great stone is rolled to block all entry. But this is not only a night about Jesus. It is also a night about our deaths and our losses. Because in some way or another, we've all been there, and some of us still are. Easter Vigil is a somber evening. It's a time to ponder mysterious things, seemingly impossible things, largely a time of listening and of hearing salvation's history. Yes, of watching and waiting. But that's how it is the morning after, is it not? That's how it is the morning after you hear the news. That's how it is the morning that you see the body. That's how it is the morning after the burial. Because every Good Friday is followed by a Holy Saturday. And like the disciples, you wake up and you realize that last night's nightmare wasn't just a bad dream. It's the reality of today's life. The truth of today's life. The author of Lamentations gets it. He says that we have been brought into darkness without light. We are besieged and we are enveloped with bitterness and tribulation. We are walled in and we cannot escape. We are bound in chains. We lament and we cry out for help, but our prayer is like vapor in the wind. The darkness and the death, it reminds us that we have no lasting city here, that there is nothing but a sealed tomb. And in some ways, in one degree or another, we sit and we wait in the hell of our life. For hell is not simply merely the torment of eternity, but it is also a present torment. For you remember that in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die, your Lord said. And now Adam's brow drips with sweat as he toils beneath the earth and on the earth. And Eve bears children in pain, if she bears them at all. And the devil sifts us like Simon Peter, like wheat, all our days in this fallen life. It doesn't take much, does it? The sudden fall that breaks bones and then dreams. The slow-growing memory loss that turns loved ones into strangers. A spouse that suffers those long-ago spoken words in sickness and in health, until death do us part. Or even long before that, in the knife of divorce. The children that bear the afflictions of their parents and the parents that bear the afflictions of their children. We sit and we dangle our feet in the murky waters of hell while our mind and our eyes strain to see any sort of light and any sort of hope of what Christians call heaven. And this light and this hope of heaven, this blessed immortal life, we are told, is in the Lord. That it is in His steadfast love and mercy to give us this life, this new life. But the weary flesh cries out and begs, where is that today? Where is the love and the mercy of our Lord on Holy Saturday? The king apparently sleeps in the tomb of the earth. Where are the enduring promises of our Lord on the morning after, on the day when all there is largely silence, a tomb, and a descent into hell? Now, at the time of the Reformers, in 1544 or so, 2 years before Luther's death, there was a great controversy over what it meant to confess that Christ descended into hell. What does it mean when we say that in the creed? In the ancient church, there were no unanimous opinions about it. It was all over the place. But working with various biblical texts, our confessors of the Lutheran church declared in the form of Concord this basic reality regarding the descent into hell. First off, Christ descended into hell to proclaim victory, and this must be accepted through faith and not to be speculated on. But it goes on to say that it comforts us Christians to know that Christ has been everywhere and has seen everything, even hell. For Satan has no ground, no matter where it is, or refuge from God's judgment of Christ's cross. The enduring love and the promises of the Lord abide with us even in the hells of our life. Yes, even on the morning after, when confusion and perplexity would rule the day, would fill the disciples' minds. The Lord is near the brokenhearted and crushed in spirit. The psalmist knows. He says, if I make my bed in Sheol, that is in hell, by the way, you are there. If I get on wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, there your hand shall guide me, and your right hand shall hold me. Holy Saturday, Easter Vigil, comforts us that Christ has not only seen and suffered the sin and hell of our life, but that He has also forgiven all the sin and broken the gates of hell of our life, but from the inside out. Because it's not just that He is with you, as if this is some sort of theology of solidarity. His arm around you. He's far more than that. He's for you. He's for you in the sense that He's not against you, and that in that He's for you, He saves you, and in that He saves you, He promises to resurrect you. For He didn't go as others did, as a helpless prisoner through a gate that would never open. He descended to hell as an overlord of death. He broke through the gates, and a revolution of greatest proportions changed that day, changed the balance of all the power forever. Because as you know, the earthquake shook Jerusalem, and there were signs of all of this. We heard about these. We heard about this on Monday, Thursday, and also Good Friday. The curtain in the temple that had blocked the way to the Holy of Holies, to God Himself, where no one dared go except for the high priest on the Day of Atonement, was torn from top to bottom. And now it's open so that we sinners could go straight through unto our God and our Father's heavenly arms. Even the gates of death were opened. And now every knee, even those under the earth, will bow before Christ. Because whoever believes in Christ need not fear death, because Christ goes before him. And this is because every Holy Saturday is followed by an Easter Sunday. For this day and all the days that follow this day cry out for my resurrection. What do I confess? I confess that I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. I look for the release of my sins and release from my death and release from my hell. And in Christ, I have it. And in Christ, I have seen by faith a new spectacle. A tomb is opened and the God-man is being raised by the glory of His Father. And there is rejoicing and souls are being made glad and men are being formed. And the heavens are being rent asunder. Because while the world will hold candlelight vigils to remember the dead, the church's candlelight vigil is to wait for life in the midst of death. While the world will hold candlelight vigils to capture a legacy of someone, the church's candlelight vigil is to receive an inheritance which she knows is imperishable, undefiled, and is kept in heaven for her. And while the world holds candlelight vigils to hold on to a memory of someone, the church's candlelight vigil holds on to the food of the resurrection and ingests the food of the resurrection unto the new heavens and the new earth. So though the body of Jesus had been taken down from the cross, it was by that very cross that he rose victorious from the grave. And though his mother and his disciples saw him wrapped in death, he was, unbeknownst to their human eyes, wrapping the world in his eternal life. A great stone rolled away that no one could move. Linen cloths lying where death used to lay, and an empty tomb with angelic messengers announcing to them that he was risen and that he had gone before them. But again, this isn't only about Jesus. It's about our death and our life, our baptism and our catechesis, because we've all been there, and some still are. For we are all baptized into Christ, are we not? Into him who died and rose again. And in our baptism, the tomb of Holy Saturday becomes the womb of Easter Sunday in which we are born anew. That is the promise that is hidden deep within every tomb wherein a Christian lay. So, it is a joyous vigil, even if it is restrained with some sense of somberness this evening. It is indeed a time to ponder mysteries and things that are seemingly completely impossible. A time of listening primarily to the salvation history of what God has worked for you. Of watching and waiting. For our Lord is risen from the dead, never to die again. And your joy will not be because one particular day is over and a new day comes that you hope will be better than the previous day that you just had. No, in Christ, a whole new day has come. A perfect, holy, and righteous day. Eternal day has been ushered in by the risen Son of God. And this is because the Word has promised, that God has promised this in His Word, and He has kept it for you. And your joy will overflow, and your heart will sing, and your soul will rejoice as you walk in the land of the ever-living ones who are in beauty and in glorious dress. Because in the end, which is the beginning, that's how it is the morning after you see the glorified body of Jesus. That's how it is the morning after you see the resurrection. And that's how it is in the new heavens and the new earth. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all your human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto eternal life. Amen.